This Lord's Day, we want to focus our attention on the commandment, which is the fifth commandment that He gave of the Ten Commandments in the Law of Moses, which is repeated numerous times in the New Testament, the commandment to honor our father and mother. And this is actually not just going to be for children that are still in the house of their parents. That's going to be a part of our consideration this morning, the way in which those who are young, that are still under the direct authority of their parents, how they're to honor their father and mother. But those of us who still have our parents around, that we're maybe long out of the house, we still have obligations. That commandment is still in effect, as we'll see. So really, this is going to be something that is applicable to just about all of us here. We'll start, though, with something that certainly will apply to everybody, and that's understanding what the word honor means. As we'll see, that word used in the Old Testament and the New Testament in a number of applications. And if you look at the definitions of the word, basically the word means to esteem or show value or give weight to someone. So when we are to honor someone, we are to show that we value or esteem them, and that is to be demonstrated in a certain way. We'll also need to consider what it doesn't mean. But we are commanded in God's Word to, first of all, honor God, and we'll start with that because everything else flows from there as an extension of that. Any other being that we're supposed to show honor to, it's going to be a way in which we're still honoring God, because it's going to be from Him and by His commandment that we would honor anybody else. But in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, God made a statement to the high priest of Israel at the time, who was Eli, and Eli was not honoring God like he should. He was honoring his sons above the Lord, as God said in verse 29 of 1 Samuel 2. But in verse 30, he says, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." So is it necessary and important to honor God? Yes, and God will show His value to us. He will value us if we value Him. If we honor Him, He's going to ultimately honor us. But He will lightly esteem those who don't show Him the proper esteem and honor. And those who despise Him, He's going to lightly esteem. And keep that in mind, because that really is on the opposite side from honoring. That's how we would dishonor. Despising is dishonoring. We want to also file that one away for a little bit later, Lord willing, as we will consider in our treatment of our parents. That's obviously something we can't do in honoring them, that is to despise them. But we also are told in the New Testament, in John chapter 5, verse 23, to honor the Father and the Son. And in fact, one of the chief ways that we as Christians will honor the Father is by honoring the Son whom He has sent. John chapter 5 and verse 23, He says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. So we see how those two things go together. We are to honor God, and we're to honor our Father by honoring His Son, Jesus Christ. And how do we show that we honor God and that we honor Christ? Well, how do we show that we love the Lord? John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." I mean, how do we show that we esteem God, that we value Him or give weight to Him and to what He says? We have to keep His commandments, and we're told that over and over again. God has established, of course, many different authorities on this earth. That's all under His authority, because it's all His ultimately. But we know that He has established governments among men. He'll frequently use the word king in the Bible, as that was the most common form of government at the time. In those days, we still have kings on the earth today, but whether we have a king or whether we have a prime minister or a president or whatever it is, we'll have a leader of our land, our nation. We also have local leaders. We have governors and we have other government officials. But all of these are ordained of God, and we are commanded to show them honor. And how do we do so? Again, by obeying what laws we are given through them. But it's ultimately from God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, we'll see that application. Now, all this that we're looking at has the aim of helping us to understand better what honor means, what that involves, as that we will then try to really drive that home or make the application in terms of honoring our parents. But here in 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 17, he says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So we are to show honor to government officials and the ultimate leader of our land, whoever that is. And we are to show value or esteem that one or the ones that are sent by him or her, all the government officials. We have to show honor to them. We could make a lesson out of that easily. There's lots of things that will involve things that we should and shouldn't do or say even. But in Romans chapter 13, we see this same principle also taught there. Romans chapter 13, he's going to even mention those who are have the job of collecting taxes and law enforcement officials. These are all ones that are ministers of God, as he's going to describe them here, and that we are to show honor to. And he's going to be very clear in how we would do that. But in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, he says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." That's in the context of these officials of the government and the laws of the land. We're to be in submission to all of those, and we are to show them honor by showing our submission to the laws that God has ordained through them. Do they understand that they're God's ministers? Very few of them would, but that doesn't change the fact that they are, and that we have the responsibility for conscience sake towards God to show them honor, understanding that God is the one that has ordained them. Well, we also see this as true of ones that have authority over us in our secular vocations, which is going to apply to many, if not most of us here in some way. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1. Just one of many places, again, in the New Testament that he teaches on this subject also. But he says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed." There, those ones that have masters, they're to be shown honor, our earthly masters. And of course, in that time, this was a time in which actual slavery existed. Now, we might feel that way sometimes in our jobs, but of course it's not exactly the same. However, the principle is there that if somebody has authority over us in our jobs, whatever that is, that we do have to show them honor and we do have to do what they say. And that we're commanded to do and 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. We left off in verse 17 a moment ago, but the subject of showing honor to and submitting to those that have authority over us is continued in verse 18 when he says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." So it's not dependent upon the kind of person they are. They're going to be judged for the kind of person they are, but our responsibility is the same regardless. We are to show them honor when they have authority over us and have to submit to that authority. Same is also true by the arrangement that God has made in His church. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, we see that is spelled out in very plain terms when he says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." So in all these authority arrangements, whether it's in the government, in our jobs, or in the church, there's structure there that God has given. There's authority there. And in all those cases, He'll tell us to honor those ones that have authority over us. Now, this does not mean to glorify them. That's a different word. That's a different action. And we see this in John chapter 5, verse 44. This is just to make it clear what this does not mean. But in John 5, verse 44, he uses the word honor here that's translated that way in the King James Version here in this verse. This is actually the Greek word doxa, which is the word to glorify. Different word than the word honor that we've been looking at in these other passages. But Jesus asked there in John 5, 44, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only?" Again, that's the word for glory. So we're not to give or receive glory to men or from men. In Acts chapter 12, King Herod did this. He received the glory of the people. Now, we're commanded to honor the king, but we're not commanded to glorify the king, to give the king something that only belongs to God, and that would be glory. We only worship God. We only glorify God in this way. But here in Acts chapter 12, 20 through 23, it says, "Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country." They didn't want their food supply cut off. So in verse 21, it says, "Upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." So he met a rather horrible end there. But the reason was, well, God's the one that smote him because he gave not God the glory. He received from men what only belonged to God. And that's a different thing. So by showing honor, by submitting to ones that are in authority, or we could even look at other applications, serving, willingly serving ones. And we are to honor, as we saw earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, we're to honor all. We're to honor each other. And we do that by serving one another. And so we're going to see applications of this now as we turn our attention specifically to the commandment for us to honor our father and mother. Now, again, as we have seen before in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, this was the fifth commandment of the law that God gave here on this occasion to the people of Israel through Moses. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And he's going to call this the first commandment with promise. God promised the lengthening of days for those who obeyed that commandment. And that also itself is really another subject to look at, how God deals with people. God is the one that gives us our life. He's the one that takes our life. He's the one that decides how long we're here. But just briefly turning over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, if we consider certain ones that God is attempting to work with, if there is a high degree of wickedness there in a person that the Lord is attempting to reach? Is God likely to be finished with giving that particular person more opportunities or chances to listen to him, as opposed to someone that is not pursuing wickedness to that same degree? Well, let's just look at, if you didn't understand the question, well, hopefully you'll understand the answer, because it's here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse 17, when he says, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" Now notice that. The degree of wickedness one has, can that lead to shortening of days? Yes, it can. That's what he says there. Why should you die before your time? So if we're overmuch wicked, any amount of wickedness is being too wicked. But the more wickedness that's there, I mean, how much is the Lord going to have to work with? If the heart is that hard, the Lord is likely to take that person out of this earth. Now, he may choose to lead them here for some other reason, like he did Pharaoh. You can look at Romans 9 when it talks about his long suffering with Pharaoh for a particular purpose. He had a use for Pharaoh. But other than that, certainly wickedness will tend to lead towards one being taken early in their time on this earth rather than later. Which is why it makes sense when he said the ones who will honor their parents will have a lengthening of the days. Well, someone that's not even willing to show honor to their parents, if they're going to be despising and rebelling against their parents, I mean, that's the first authority that God gives to somebody. If we won't even submit to that, I mean, what can God do with us? I mean, it makes sense why those who aren't going to do that are going to be liable to have their days shortened on the earth, whereas those that are willing to have tender hearts to honor their parents, that's going to be someone the Lord will have a very good opportunity to work with, to train in submission to His authority in all respects. And consequently, our days on this earth, and then ultimately we will have that eternal life if we carry that through into every avenue like it should be. The Lord gives us a great opportunity to learn how to honor Him as children by honoring our parents. That's His commandment there in Exodus 20, verse 12. By the way, He repeats that in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16 when He repeats the Ten Commandments in the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy. And there we see it again, just as we saw it in Exodus 20 and verse 12 with that same promise. Jesus quoted it, taught it when he was on this earth, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4, which we want to get to that particular context in a few minutes, Lord willing. But he was rebuking there the leaders of the Jews who were making that particular commandment to honor the parents of none effect by a tradition they had that was causing them not to honor their parents later in their lives. He also taught that rich young man in Matthew 19, 19 that came to him and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he told him to keep the commandments. And he says, "Which ones?" Well, among those, Jesus also mentioned that one, honor your father and your mother. Well, this we are commanded to do in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Here in the New Testament, we find another repeating of that Old Testament commandment. This is something God has had an effect for everyone on this earth from the beginning. And it should be no surprise that we find this teaching here in the New Testament. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now last week we particularly were considering the obeying the parents. Now we're really looking at honoring. Now those two go together, especially for those who are younger children. How does a child that's under the direct authority of the parents in the home show honor to their parents? Well, the chief way to do that is by obeying the parents. So in that case, honoring and obeying are going to go fit together exactly and precisely. And so children have to do that. Colossians 3 and verse 20 is another commandment for this applies to children that are in the house under their parents and their authority. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I mean, that's the will of God. And the Lord gives many warnings to children, younger children, to do that and the consequences of those who will not. In Proverbs chapter 30, if we can turn over there for a moment, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, he says, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." Now, he speaks about certain generations or those on this earth. There are going to be times, and we looked at that last week. We saw the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Romans chapter 1, where he warns of these perilous times, these generations where disobedience to parents becomes very common. We live in this time right now. This is happening right now in our own day and time in this country, unfortunately. Those of us that have been around a few years, is there the same respect for authority in our society right now that there was even just a few short years ago? In every avenue, towards our earthly authorities, in every way, we can see the erosion of that. That's not a good thing. And especially as it pertains to one's parents. But he says there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. Some will even sue them. But anyway, there's lots of things that are going on that are very evil by what God teaches in his word. And that's not a good thing at all. In verse 17 of the same chapter, Proverbs 30, he says, "The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it." That is very graphic. I mean, God chose some, those kinds of things get little kids' attention to hear something like that. A bird plucking your eye out and then eating it. I know you're wanting to say, well, that's gross. What is God using those kinds of words to make a point about? I mean, that gets your attention. He wants it to get your attention because he wants you to honor your parents, to obey your parents, not despise them. You don't argue with them. You don't despise to obey. All the attitudes, the body language, and any of you kids ever done that when you're told to do something you don't want to do what your parents just told you, and you roll your eyes, you shrug your shoulders, or show in every way that you don't want to do what you were just told. Maybe you go off and do it anyway. Of course, that's better than disobedience. But he says, don't despise to obey. That is a very serious thing. We have to honor the parents and to show them value to what they say. That's going to be demonstrated by someone who's willing to obey that. Think about this. If you're only obeying and willfully obeying, cheerfully obeying, when it's what you would do anyway, I mean, what kind of a sacrifice is that? I mean, that's really not much, is it? I mean, you'd be doing that anyway. It's when your parents tell you something different than what you're doing, or maybe it would be your choice of what you want to do. That's really when it's going to require that honoring and esteeming, that you're going to say, they're my authority by God, and I'm going to consider what they say, and I'm going to willingly follow through with that because they said that, and that's what's right in God's sight. That's the kind of understanding, that's the kind of heart that children need to have. And we see this is in the demonstrated by Christ himself. This was in his heart. Look in Luke chapter 2. As we see this description of Christ in his own childhood in verses 42 through 52. In the New Testament, we do not have a lot of material about Christ's childhood. We have a lot of information about the circumstances of his birth, of course, and some things that happened to him within those first couple of years that he was on the earth. And then we don't really have anything until what we have right here in Luke chapter 2 when he's about the age of 12 years old. And then we don't have anything after that until he's 30. This is really it. But this being the case, this is really the only glimpse we have of Christ in his childhood. Does it surprise us to see what we see here about him and what he's doing, who he was, what his understanding was of God and of the authority that he was under with his own parents? So let's read these verses. It shouldn't surprise us, but we can learn from it. And children, you need to follow this example of Jesus Christ. There's none better. Verses 42 to 52 of Luke chapter 2. It says, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Do you think Christ at that time would have... Do you think he would have enjoyed having a few more days there in the temple doing what he was doing there? But his parents were ready for him to go home, so they called him to come home. And what did he do? He went. And he did so willingly. And what does it say about his entire relationship to his parents at that time when he was in his childhood under their authority? He was subject unto them. So he honored his father and his mother. He obeyed that commandment of God. He was in subjection to his parents. And he is the example that all children should follow. Now, one of the things that has to be recognized from that, that we'll also understand as it's applied to us throughout our lives, honoring our parents doesn't stop at any time. We don't outgrow that. Now, do we outgrow the time when we are going to be in their household under their direct authority? Yes, that goes back to the book of Genesis, to chapter 2, when God gave Eve to Adam as his wife, and he said, for this cause man shall leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. There comes that time in our life when we shift from being part of their house to having our own household. And then we become the ones in authority in our own household. We're not in their household anymore, directly under their authority. So we don't have our parents then in our house telling us what to do, everything that we're doing like we did before. That's God's will. However, leaving the home does not end our relationship to our parents or the commandment. It doesn't then relieve us of that commandment that God gives to honor them. Now, the way we honor them will change. No longer is it going to be by just direct obedience to what they say. We have to continue to show them value, to show them that respect, that we give weight to them, to who they are, what they say, and that needs to be demonstrated in our attitude and our treatment of them. Now, we see in Proverbs a number of verses about how we're to treat our parents. Now, it can be a temptation for those of us who are growing older as our parents are becoming elderly. There is that temptation to come to despise one's own parents. That's an awful thing to do, and God says don't do that. Yet what again do we see in our society today? Do we see a respect for elders? Do we see a valuing of the life of the elderly? That's going away fast. That's not a good thing. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20, if we'll turn over there, I know we've just got a handful of verses to look at here before we close this morning, but in Proverbs 15 verse 20, he says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. And it's interesting to see how many times there's the warning, don't despise your mother. For some reason, it may be a little bit easier to continue to maintain that respect for one's father, though that's not the case with a lot of people either. But one's mother, there's I know the mothers, they're not as big, they're not as loud, they're not as intimidating as the fathers. They're your parent. They're your mother. You have to honor and show respect to them. And he says, don't despise your mother. Proverbs 19 and verse 26. Proverbs 19, 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Do any people waste their father or chase away their mother? They want their things. They'll get all their things and then get rid of them. You see that going on today? That is unfortunately becoming very much the pattern in our world. And the Lord says that is a shame. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. Proverbs 23:22, he says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Do our fathers stop having wisdom when we're out of the house? Is there anything to listen to that we should consider of what they say when we're no longer in their house? He says, listen to your father. And then he says, don't despise your mother when she's old. That's a wicked thing to do. We know that when we were weak and helpless in this world, who was it that was there for us doing everything? And what's the right thing to do for the ones who did that for us? Well, it's the same thing. And we need to requite that. We need to show our parents the same honor and love and care for them, and returning that for what they did for us when we were helpless. As they get older, and they may need help from us at that time, and we need to be ready and willing to give them that just as they were there for us when we needed it. What was the last thing, or one of the very last things, that Jesus did on the earth? John chapter 19, 25 through 30. This is while he was hanging on the cross, dying. John 19, 25 through 30 says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." So we see one of the very last things that he did was to ensure that his mother was going to be taken care of. And he chose the best, John, to be the one that was going to take care of his mother for the rest of her days on this earth. So he was thinking of his mother and what would become of her, because he wouldn't be there as her son on the earth to do those things, to fulfill those duties as he was dying. And so he made sure there was somebody to do that. So he took his responsibility as her son right up to his last moment on the earth. Honoring the parents never stops. It didn't stop with Jesus, and it shouldn't stop with us. In Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13, we see that evil tradition that the leaders of the Jews had in Christ's time. Mark 7, verses 9 through 13, and he rebuked them for this. He said unto them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth it father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many like such like things do ye." So they could give a lump sum and then free themselves of any future obligations for their parents. They could take care of it all in one sum and be done with them, and then they didn't have to do anything else. That was their tradition. How does that square with what God commanded to honor one's father and mother? There's nothing that releases us from that obligation at any time while we're on this earth. And we see Jesus followed through with his own teachings, with what he was doing up to his dying moments, in honoring his mother. Obviously, his earthly father was gone at that point. But this is what he did all of his days. And there's nothing that will ever release us from that obligation. We can't pay them off with a sum of money. We can't do anything that will then give us an excuse to ignore them and not take care of them, or even worse, to despise them or abuse them or misuse them in their old age. We need to keep in mind what he says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 24. Sadly, we see many times, and sometimes even Christians have fallen prey to this temptation of covetousness in trying to get their parents' things at their last days on the earth. And the Lord says this in Proverbs 28:24: "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, It is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." A lot of people rationalize that, taking their parents' thing. Well, it's going to be mine anyway. There's no rationalization, no excuse for that. The Lord says that is the companion of a destroyer, who would take their parents' things. Don't take those things when you're young. Don't take their things when they're when you're older and they're older. That's not what is proper. In fact, as we get older, we need to use what we have to help them if that's what the need is. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we'll close here this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 5, looking at verses 3 through 8. And this is one reason why the church is commanded, if they have widows of the number, the church should not be the ones to take over the responsibility from the families of the ones that are older. The family should fulfill their obligations that God has given to them, such that the church wouldn't be burdened with it, as he's going to teach here in 1 Timothy chapter 5, 3 through 8. But the key point is for us to have the right heart towards our parents. He's actually going to include grandparents here, not just parents, in this particular context. But let's read 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 8. Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, and that word nephew, that's the descendants really for grandchildren. But any younger family member, we need to regard the ones that are older in our families. So parents or grandparents, we need to show them this kind of honor. But he says, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. What does that word requite mean? It means to return it again. For this is good and acceptable before God. See, we need to repay that. Again, they took care of us when we had needs, when we couldn't help ourselves. And if that day comes for them, that's our job then to do that for them. And in verse 5, he says, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So that's what God says about us as Christians. If we don't honor our parents, if we don't treat them in the way that we should when they're older, and we're not taking care of our own family in that way by showing them that honor, he says we've denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever in that case. That's how serious that is. The Lord says, honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with a promise, and that commandment has certain obligations for us that will last throughout our time on this earth, while our parents are here. We need to do that. We need to obey that commandment of God. It's one of the most, one of the first ones that He's given, and it's one that the Lord obviously takes very seriously, as we should. Lord willing, next week, we want to, look at now the other side and children, parents training up their children in the Lord, the parents' obligations towards the children, as the, that Elijah, that was John the Baptist that came in the spirit of Elijah, was prophesied in those last verses of the book of Malachi that he then fulfilled in turning the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. So we've looked at the children turning their, having their thoughts, their eyes turned to their parents to think about God's commandments for them. But we now need to then go the other way and have our hearts turned to our children, those of us that have them. And consider what the Lord would have us to do and what He teaches us in training them up in the right way and in His nurture and admonition. So we want to do that for, or at least start that next Sunday morning, Lord willing. This is an opportunity right now for anyone that is here at this time that needs to obey the gospel of Christ by repenting of your sins and confessing your faith in Christ before men and being immersed in water, being baptized to Him for the remission of your sins. If that is your need at this time, we're encouraging you to respond to the Lord and obey His commandments so you can be added to His church, have your sins washed away, and have hope of eternal life. If you are a member of the body of Christ, if you have fallen into sin, if you've gone astray, if you need to repent, or if you need the prayers of the church for any reason and the encouragement of your brethren here at this time, this is an opportunity for you also. Anyone that needs to come, please do so now while we stand and sing.